In the late 1900s, John Paul II, throughout his time as bishop and especially as pope, developed this thing which we eventually hear his philosophy and eventually his theology of the body. Beautiful thing that he has given to the church, but and it's something he's very known for. But he's not the first to develop a theology of the body. In fact, Paul gives us one here today, and I think it's worth just walking through a little bit of what we could call St. Paul's theology of the body here in the first letter of to the Corinthians that he gives us. And I'm going to try and read the whole passage. We got a little bit cut out here this morning, but here's what Paul says. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God will do away with both, the one and the other. The body, however, is not for immorality, but for the Lord. The Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that you are members of Christ? Shall I then take Christ's members and make them members of a prostitute? Of course not. Or do you not know that anyone who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For the two, it says, will become one flesh. But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. And he continues on a little bit there. But we want to look at this a little bit today to see what Paul's theology of the body is. First, he uses the word immorality. In the Greek, that's the word porneia, from which we get the word pornography. It's specific to sexual immorality. But what Paul is doing to show us this context of this theology of the body gives us an example from what we could call the purpose or the telos, the teleology of the stomach here. What's the purpose of the stomach? We have the stomach so that it digests food. We want to put good things into it, and it digests food. But when he says what the purpose of the body is, it might be a little confusing at first. We might think, oh, maybe he's going to point to marriage. But what he points to is the purpose of the body is the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He's showing us that Jesus is the divine bridegroom and that our bodies are made for the Lord. This is the ultimate purpose of our incarnated nature, union with God, divine union with God, him dwelling within us, even within our own bodies. And that's why we have certain rules around our sexual morality, not because we think low of it, but because we think so highly of it, because it's such a divine gift and that our bodies are given to us so that the Lord himself will dwell within us. It's a beautiful and remarkable thing. And the Catechism reminds us that every one of us is called to chastity based on our state in life. Every single one of us is called to be pure and holy in the Lord. That takes different forms for someone who's married versus the sisters versus the priests. But we're all called to belong entirely to the Lord so that he truly can remain with us. And we can wonder and be filled with awe because we can ask that same question of the Lord today that the apostles asked him. Lord, where are you staying? And the amazing thing is he's staying at your house. He's staying within you. This is the Eucharistic amazement that we can discover here today, precisely what your body was made for, union with him, that we get to experience a foretaste of that eternal union with him in heaven by eating his flesh and drinking his blood here today. It's a remarkable thing. So Paul then gives us this encouragement, avoid immorality. It's kind of a weak translation. It's actually flee it. Get out of there. Get away from it. Anything that might draw you away from the Lord in this way, according to your sexuality, to flee it. Why? Because as Christians, you belong to Christ, and your body is not your own. It is Christ's. And what we do with our bodies We, in a sense, we have Christ do in, through, and with us. And that's why Paul says, flee it. Get away from that, and may the Spirit of God dwell within you. Be amazed at this, that the Lamb who was slain has come to dwell in your house today. And so, yes, he can come and stay with us today, but we can even become like Samuel. Samuel was living and sleeping in the temple, in the presence of the ark, where the glory of the Lord was. And yet that can be you and I, not because you're coming to camp out here in this church, but because he dwells within you when you remain in the state of grace. And so he's always with you to protect that state of grace in your heart, the fact that God himself is truly with you, to guard and protect that, and to be, in a sense, have holy jealousy around that. God is with you, dwells within you, and this is why you were created. This is why you have a body, for union, deep and intimate union with him, which begins here at this holy sacrifice when we see the Lamb of God, when we eat his flesh and drink his blood. So let us be encouraged by Paul today and his theology of the body. Let us glorify the Lord always in our bodies, giving ourselves entirely to him as he gives himself entirely to us today.